The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
This House to congratulate Heather Kelly on being named Bedford's 2015 Volunteer of the Year. Heather has been integral to so many activities in Bedford for so many years. She was a mover and shaker at the Fort Sackville Foundation, where she organized the annual Georgian Tea, coordinated the Antiques Roadshow, chaired the student art exhibit, and interviewed residents to gather oral histories. The Scouts, historical societies, recreation and community organizations, health charities, St. Nicholas Church, Bedford Ringette, and the City of Halifax all benefited from Heather's committed efforts. When I last spoke about Heather, I noted that she spread joy wherever she went, and so my condolences go out to her family and friends. She was a delightful woman. She left her mark on our community, and she will be missed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Time allotted for member statements has just about expired. We'll now move on to oral questions put by members to ministers. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Deputy Premier. 2 days ago, teachers rejected overwhelmingly the deal made between the government and the NSTEU executive. Yesterday, the government issued an ultimatum to the Public Servant Union, which today they have, having their bluff called, withdrawn, Mr. Speaker. Nova Scotians are right to wonder what the plan is, if there is a plan, because it's hard to see what the plan is at this point. I'd like to ask the Deputy Premier to clear things up for us here in the House and tell us and all Nova Scotians what is the plan going forward for these contract negotiations.
The Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the member opposite. At this point in time, Mr. Speaker, I think the important thing for everyone to know is that we expect that the agreement that was reached at the bargaining table, that was hammered out in good faith on both parties' parts, would be taken back by our partners to their union membership for a vote. That's our hope there.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday it was urgent the government know an answer to that very question by 9 o'clock this morning. Today, they are hopeful that sometime in the future that might happen. Mr. Speaker, people are wondering what the plan is. Parents are wondering what's going to go on with their schools. People who rely on public services are wondering what's going to go on with public services. These are the most basic things the government is responsible for looking after, Mr. Speaker. So what does the Deputy Premier have to say to all those Nova Scotians who are worried about all the uncertainty that the government has created?
The Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And again, I appreciate the question on this important issue, which we do acknowledge is very important to everyone in Nova Scotia. The message that is important to know is that we are taking our time, we're examining our options, and we are encouraging our partners to take this hard-fought agreement that was arrived at the bargaining table, that was arrived at in good faith with our partners, that they take it to the union membership who have a right to see it and to vote on it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, there may be two parties at these tables, the NSTEU executive and the government, or the public sector union and the government, but what's important to the people of Nova Scotia, parents who are worried about their schools, people that rely on public services, is whether the government is just making this up day by day as they go along. And no wonder. Yesterday, they issued an ultimatum that they needed an answer urgently. Today, they don't have any rush at all, Mr. Speaker, to find out what's going on. So, Mr. Speaker, I would like to give the Deputy Premier one more chance to tell Nova Scotians what the plan is to settle these outstanding matters.
The Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker. And I think the Leader of the Opposition knows that these things take time, that they resolve themselves with good faith and with hard work, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking our time, moving forward, examining our options. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Acting Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of the Public Service Commission. Yesterday, Mr. Speaker, after Nova Scotia's Civil Service Union said they'd delay their ratification vote on the government's most recent offer, the government took the unprecedented step of writing to the union demanding that it complete a ratification vote by December the 7th. And I'll table that letter. And Mr. Speaker, as the minister should know, the decision on whether to hold a ratification vote is entirely up to the union and its membership. So my question to the minister is this. Why did he issue what can only be seen as an ultimatum that a vote be held by December the 7th?
The Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And in answer to the member opposite's question, I think it's very important to recognize that everything is moving forward. The agreement that the union has, that our partners have, was arrived at with them at the bargaining table, and that we intend to look at options as we go forward, but we are strongly encouraging them to look at the agreement that they have in place and to take that agreement to their members as the plan was, since they accepted it, since a tentative agreement was arrived at the bargaining table.
The Honourable Acting Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this Liberal government has failed over and over to respect labour laws and workers' lives, workers' rights. Bill 1, Mr. Speaker, when the government attempted to dictate which union health workers belong to without giving them a vote, the Minister of Health attempted to fire an independent arbitrator 3 or 4 times when his decisions weren't to the minister's taste, and now it's dictating that a union hold a ratification vote by a fixed time or else. So my question to the Minister of the Public Service Commission is this. Why does he think the government continues to pick fights and act as if it's above the law in labour relations?
The Honourable Minister of the Public Service Commission.
Mr. Speaker, our government has reached a tentative agreement with the NSGU. We'd like to encourage the union to hold a vote. Mr. Speaker, I will address some things that are different between this government and the NDP government. The NDP government is the only government in the last decades that has taken away the right to vote from anyone in a union. Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to state that this government has reinstated the Premier's Award of Excellence, which under the NDP government was only the Awards of Excellence because the Premier didn't think that he could go and speak to the public service because they were beneath him. That was the NDP government, Speaker, not our government.
The Honourable Acting Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Well, the minister makes stuff up all the time in this house, and it's good to see him get on his feet and not just heckle from the other side and attempt to answer a question, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the letter that was sent to the union representing civil servants yesterday also contained a not-so-subtle threat. As the letter states, if ratification is delayed, suspended, or deferred, in any manner, we will consider our options, including withdrawal of the offer of November 13th. So my question to the Minister for the Public Service Commission are, what are all of the options that the government is considering?
The Honourable Minister of the Public Service Commission.
Mr. Speaker, we're considering all the options available to us at this point. Of course it is. Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to point out that the NDP, although they're saying, accusing me of lying, you can't sit there and make things up and say that the Premier under the NDP was supporting public service. There was no Premier's Award of Excellence. They canceled that. And, Premier Dexter also didn't even find fit to go to the Long Service Awards.
I do want to remind the Honourable Acting Leader of the New Democratic Party that inferring that any minister is, quote, making things up is unparliamentary. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Maybe unparliamentary, but it's accurate.
Mr. Speaker, autism... Mr. Speaker, autism spectrum disorder is a serious illness that affects many Nova Scotia children and the families, the moms and dads that care for them. And yet it is not covered as a disorder by the Direct Family Support Program. Mr. Speaker, Angie O'Connell is one such mom who I introduced earlier. Her family and others are often pushed to the brink of crisis without the help that they need from this program, Mr. Speaker, which is available to many others. I'd like to ask the Deputy Premier if the government will commit to making Nova Scotia children with autism spectrum disorder eligible for this important, helpful program.
The Honourable Deputy Premier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and that is a good question from the member opposite. I would say that autism is very important. The first bill that I introduced in the House as a private member was about autism and services to address that at a time when the Conservative government was in and there were no services whatsoever for autistic children. But I would like to ask the Minister of Health to answer this question. Thanks.
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. What I can say is that since arriving here at Province House with the Premier, the member for Clayton Park West, we have all together and governments we have actually sat with previous governments to look at adding to autism, and we're now at the $10 million mark of investing in autism programs. And yes, sir. There is always more to look at, and we certainly can do that in the next months leading up to the budget.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I got two answers for the price of one. Neither one was a direct commitment. I certainly appreciate the willingness to look at this, Mr. Speaker, but the fact of the matter is that there are families today that are really struggling with autism. They need help now. The minister has listed money that's being spent, but really they need help now to get by, Mr. Speaker. We ask a lot of moms and dads in this situation who literally face burnout, loss of employment, and other things that are difficult to get by with, Mr. Speaker, because they want to look after their kids. There is an existing program, the Family Support Program. It's available to other people who are in similar circumstances with dealing with different illnesses. Will the minister explain why we can't extend that same help using the same budget allotment so that families with autism spectrum disorder can also get help?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'm pleased to say that there are a large number of services now that we provide to parents and obviously to children directly. We have one of the best EIBI programs that can match any in the country in terms of the percentage of children that are able to engage in that program. I know this is a special other program that can assist parents, and during budget preparation we'll certainly take a look.
The Honourable Acting Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, my question for you is to the Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, we know the Minister of Finance had multiple meetings with the heads of unions in Nova Scotia over the last number of months. And last night, we heard the President of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union indicate that the only reason they had recommended their tentative agreement to their membership was because they felt threatened, that legislation was hanging over their heads. So my question to the Minister of Finance is this. During meetings that were held with the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, was there ever any indication from yourself to the union that legislation would be brought forward?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member for the question. In the meetings that I had, Mr. Speaker, I had meetings with representatives from multiple, many unions and associations representing employees in the public sector, which includes the NSGU, the Teachers Union, all at one table at the same time, Mr. Speaker, so they're all well aware of the discussions that took place. And, Mr. Speaker, at no time did I make any such threat. In fact, the nature of those discussions, Mr. Speaker, was how we can actually look forward to identify challenges with the current labour relations process in Nova Scotia and how we can look to improve it going forward. Thank you.
The Honourable Acting Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I know that the Minister spoke about a new approach to collective bargaining in those meetings. Last night on CTV, Steve Murphy asked the Teachers Union President, quite bluntly, Mr. Speaker, what exactly she meant when she said that a threat was hanging over her head. Who threatened you, he asked. The President's response was equally blunt. The Teachers Union President replied, it was a high-level government official. So I want to ask the Minister of Finance, did the Deputy Minister of Finance personally issue a legislative ultimatum to the teachers unit away from the bargaining table?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member for the question. Mr. Speaker, the premise of the question is probably best directed to the leader of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker, because I can't comment or speak as to whom she felt threatened by, if she did so feel that way, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, my question is over the Minister of Education. Mr. Speaker, some of the eight items that were taken off the table by the government in negotiations with teachers were measures that would have helped both teachers and students. Examples of items taken off the table are creation of a robust system for teacher performance management, strengthening of the process for addressing poor teaching performance, and linking of teacher assignment directly to credentials and experience. And I'll table it, Mr. Speaker. My question, why were important measures such as this taken off the table?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. It gives me an opportunity to perhaps share some information that the member may not be aware of. But when the negotiating process takes place, during the collective bargaining process, both sides put an asking package on the table. They sit down and they look at negotiating back and forth. There's always some give and take on both sides. And it was finalized by the two parties at the table that what would go forward to the teachers for ratification, and which was supported by the union leadership and provincial executive, did not include the items of which the member speaks.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, few would argue with the measures I just mentioned. In fact, they were tabled by thousands of Nova Scotians, and I'll table it, Mr. Speaker. Not only would these measures help students by supporting top-quality instruction and learning environments, it would also help to give teachers new tools for improvement and ensuring best practices are followed. My question to the Minister, will the Minister put action plan items such as teacher performance back on the table going forward?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, Mr. Speaker, we have worked with teachers for the last 2 years since we became government, and in opposition worked with teachers for 4 years. And during those 4 years, when the other folks were in government, teachers kept asking for things that particular government was cutting. They asked for reading recovery to be reinstored, and we have done that. They asked for class sizes to be capped, and we have done that. They asked for math mentors to be reinstated, and we have done that. They asked for $65 million, which was cut from the classrooms, to be reinvested, and we have done that. And, Mr. Speaker, one important part of that package that teachers rejected was the establishment of a joint committee between the union and the government, which would sit down and look at the very issues that were identified in the action plan that needed cooperation or negotiation, and teachers rejected that joint committee, which would have allowed that to take place.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the vote reflected the frustration of teachers that are working in their working conditions in the schools. Mr. Speaker, yesterday when asked about the status of the 8 items from the Education Action Plan rejected by teachers, the minister said she expected they would move forward in the future with cooperation from teachers. Teachers rejected these items to the point the minister took them off the bargaining table. My question to the minister, after receiving an overwhelming no from teachers on these issues, how does the minister expect to now have these items realized through cooperation?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure what part of my previous answer the member doesn't understand, but those items were not in the package, and they were not rejected by teachers.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Mr. Speaker, the minister told reporters that the 8 items are still there. They are still issues that were identified when the action plan was put together. They still remain. She went on to say, we are not allowing those 8 items to prevent us from moving forward with the action plan. My question to the minister, do those 8 items still remain, or have they been removed in order to move forward with the rest of the action plan?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The action plan was printed, it was distributed, it was accepted in January of this past year. There are 100... There are 117 actions in that plan. It is a 5-year plan. The 8 of which the member speaks on page 17 are still there, and we will continue to move forward. We are encouraged, Mr. Speaker, by the cooperation that teachers have given us in doing what they asked us to do, which was streamline the outcomes so it would be more manageable, and to focus on math and literacy, which was a focus. We brought teachers in to work on code of conduct, homework policy, student attendance. Teachers have been very cooperative in working with us to try to improve the teaching and learning conditions in the classroom.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And my question today is for the Minister of Education and Early Childhood Development as well. In negotiating with the NSTEU, the Minister, who is also Chair of Treasury and Policy Board, seems to know exactly what the outcome the province is looking for on the financial side. However, when it comes to education reform, the Minister seems a little less certain. Teachers are saying that the Minister's education reforms have missed the mark, that class sizes are still too large, and the minister herself was willing to trade education reform components of the deal for wage restraint. So my question for the minister is this: if she has been working as closely with teachers as she claims, why were their concerns not identified and included in the offer made by the government?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Oh, brother. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. First, a correction. I think I stand to make sure that this correction is made. It is the NSTU. It's not the NSTEU. NSTU would be the union that represents teachers in this province, and it was with the NSTU that we were negotiating. And as I've said here, there were many items put on the table in the collective bargaining process. Both sides give, both sides take away. And during that process, there were 3 items that were left. Those went out to the membership, and the membership rejected them.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, you know, there seem to be a lot of low blows here going on in the House lately, and I find that when the opposition or when the government is upset about something, they try and take a personal pot shot. But of course, it's the NSTU. My parents both belong to it their whole lives. So, Mr. Speaker, while the minister continues to talk about the work she's doing, it is clear that teachers are dissatisfied with this government's attempt at education reform and pushing them around. Yesterday, an editorial in the Chronicle Herald said, as the grassroots revolt against the deal has been made clear, there is much discontent among teachers about their working conditions. And I will actually table that, Mr. Speaker. So my question for the minister is this: what new steps is she willing to take to improve working conditions for the teachers in the classroom?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I guess I probably should repeat what we have tried to do since we took office in October 2013 was to clean up the mess that we received from that crowd over there. I will repeat this, Mr. Speaker.
Order, please. The Honourable Minister of Education has the floor.
Are you done? What the things, Mr. Speaker, that we have reinstated, which are designed to improve student learning and teaching environment in the classroom, were things that were cut by the previous government. They were the reading recovery program. They were the math mentors. They were the capping the class sizes. They were putting teachers a series of outcomes into a more manageable document. Mr. Speaker, $65 million directly back into the classrooms. And, Mr. Speaker, that's what this government is all about, not cutting and slashing.
The Honourable Member for Colchester, Musquodoboit Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is going to be for the Minister of Community Services. Earlier today, we introduced a lady who has two boys with autism. She's in the balcony now. And the boys are 7 and 14, but they fall outside the criteria for the current programs. So my question is, would the minister be willing to meet with Angie while she is here, just to get a feel for what the bill is saying that I introduced earlier?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I must have missed the introduction of the bill. I must have been outside. But absolutely, meet with families all the time throughout the province that are living with the challenges that come with autism and other challenging situations. So absolutely.
The Honourable Member for Colchester, Musquodoboit Valley.
I agree. The only way to get the good information is to talk to the people who are actually living it. So I want to thank you, and hopefully you'll find a few minutes before Angie leaves. Thank you very much.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. It caught me off guard. I thought there was another question there. Earlier this week, parents from Path to Learning came to the legislature because they're worried that their school will be forced to close and their children will not be able to access the services that they need. The minister said that the school is in the application process to become a special education school. So my question to the Minister of Education, can she say when the process will be complete and when the parents will know if Path to Learning will be able to survive past this February?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. And I do want to commend the owner and those teachers who are working with the Path to Learning. It is providing an opportunity for parents to have programming for their students, which they believe will be more effective and help those students overcome some of the challenges that they have. As you know, in this province, we have three schools, which we call designated special education schools. They are schools where we as a government pay tuition support for students who are attending those. This application that has come in is to be designated as a special education school. Initially, the application came in. There was a need for more follow-up financial reporting. I understand that has been received by the department, and it will be processed as quickly as possible.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Minister for that answer. As most of us know, parents of children at Path to Learning say the school is making a real positive improvements in the lives of their children. They're worried about what will happen to their children if that school is closed for a time, even if a short time, or even worse, for good. So my question to the Minister, will the Minister consider providing funding for Path to Learning to help the school keep the doors open maybe until the decision is made, if that is going to take a little longer than the department would expect?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and to the member opposite. I think we agree that any services and any supports that can help students overcome a challenge and become more effective in their learning is something that we would all support. And I will make a commitment that I will go back to the department to see where that application is in the process, and I'd be happy to share that with the member.
The Honourable Member for Dartmouth South.
Mr. Speaker, today on International Day for Persons with Disabilities, the Community Home Action Group released their report card on the progress over the past 2 years on the government commitment to transform services for Nova Scotians with disabilities. The report card is the culmination of a province-wide survey of service users, service providers, experts, and families, and the results are quite troubling. More than 80% of the respondents said the government had made poor progress on reducing reliance on institutions, increasing employment opportunities, and decreasing wait lists, and I will table that. Mr. Speaker, why are the results of the SHAG report card so poor?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member for the question. I completely understand, after working with many families and meeting with them across the province, the urgency of the roadmap and the transformation. I have made it clear since coming into office 2 years ago that this would be at least a decade-long process. I commend my predecessor for her commitment to the roadmap and bringing it forward, and I know it was adopted by our government. We are committed to this transformation. It's not going at the pace that perhaps families would like, but there is progress, and I have been very strongly committed to making sure that any reduced reliance on larger facilities in this province is done so into the community in a very caring, compassionate, and safe way.
Honourable Member for Dartmouth South.
Mr. Speaker, for 2 years, the Minister and her department have had the opportunity to lead the way on transforming services, but those working on the ground see no progress at all. 90% of the respondents believe that the government has displayed poor progress on providing community-based housing, a key recommendation made to government. One service provider stated, "I work in a large facility which supports over 100 individuals. There have been no efforts to promote or support new placements in the community by DCS. As a service provider, we submitted a cost-neutral proposal to DCS to open a new 4-bed community home, and that was rejected." Mr. Speaker, why has the minister rejected cost-neutral housing options for individuals with disabilities?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, meeting the needs of these families and with each individual person that's in our program, those challenges are unique to the person, to that family. What I am pleased to report is that since April 1st up until October 15th of this year, 136 people have moved into the community off of the wait list, and that's through the tremendous work of both my staff and both community partners within the province. This is a very extraordinary, important transformation of a system that, quite frankly, has been compounded with issues over the last couple of decades. It's going to take time. We are committed to that, but we will do it safely. We will do it responsibly.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Minister of Health and Wellness. I'm curious to know if the Minister agrees that there are residents of Pictou County that are having to travel as far as Yarmouth, 5 hours away, and from loved ones to receive mental health services.
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I am aware of that situation. Once the short-term psychiatric unit closed at the Aberdeen, then the other facilities became options. In some cases, they actually chose another community where they had relatives and family members.
The Honourable Member for Pictou West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just for the record, a number of my constituents didn't have a choice and were immediately sent to Yarmouth. Mr. Speaker, depression is a serious mental illness that affects many men, women, seniors, and teens, especially during the holiday season. Overall findings suggest that clinicians in both psychiatric and primary care settings anticipate an increase in treating individuals with depression leading up to and including the Christmas season. With the mental health unit in Pictou County being closed since August, and knowing many with mental health illnesses are currently being transferred as far as Yarmouth, is the minister confident that proper and necessary measures have been put in place at the Aberdeen Hospital to deal with the unfortunate increases of mental health issues during the holiday season? And if so, what are those extra measures?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The latest report that I got, which was about 2 weeks ago from Dr. Corey, indicated that those who were experiencing some kind of mental health issue, some type of psychiatric trauma, were being received through the emergency department and were given the appropriate psychiatrists, psychologists, or psychiatric nurse team that are available 24/7 in Pictou. Only seven patients have needed short-term psychiatric care since the unit closed. They spent 3 to 5 days in a unit and have returned home.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And sadly, there will be an increase over the holiday period. That's just the way things go. And the member's question was, what additional members' issues have been put into measures have been put in place to fix that issue? And we didn't hear an answer to that today. But what we do know is that Pictou County at the Aberdeen Hospital did have a short stay unit for a number of years, and that obviously would have been a funding amount associated with the operation of that unit. So my question today for the minister is, how much, what was the annual budget of the short stay unit at the Aberdeen Hospital while it was in operation?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. That's obviously a very specific question that I will get for the member. I know that in hearing directly from a psychiatrist who is working in the Pictou area, in fact, they have started a unique service, in fact, in doing home visitation to deal with people who are dealing with mental health issues, either acute or, in some cases, supporting those who have, in fact, been diagnosed with psychosis and need that kind of regular follow-up.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I mean, the closure of the unit was meant to be a temporary closure. And all the indications are, the concern of the community is it won't be temporary. And when I hear things like only seven people have needed services, it concerns me, because it's many more people than that require those services, Mr. Speaker. So if they're not coming forward, that's an issue as well, so because they don't feel they're there. So we know there was a cost to running that short stay unit. We don't know what it is. We can probably agree it's more than $1 million a year, I would say, just in round numbers, without access to everything. So my question is, Where is that money going? Is it in these new services the minister is talking about, or has it been shoveled off to another area of the Department of Health?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. We know now that we're dealing with a provincial health authority budget. The money is there currently to run services. Also, recruitment is going on. And from the people who are actively involved with psychiatric care in Pictou, I have the absolute assurance that the service today is better than what it was 12 months ago.
The Honourable Member for Dartmouth South.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday when I asked the Minister of Community Services about the cancellation of the subsidy provided to Brunswick Street nonprofit, her response, in her response, she stated, Let's make it crystal clear. This government did not cut any subsidy. It expires when a mortgage is paid off, and I will table that. Mr. Speaker, according to Jeanette Lockyer, the woman responsible for the housing group's finances, this is not true. Mrs. Lockyer says that she received an email from Housing Nova Scotia informing her that even though the mortgage remains due, the subsidy would be cancelled 3 days before that was to take place, and I will table that. Mr. Speaker, can the minister explain why her department made the decision to cancel the subsidy?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
First of all, let me start by saying I empathize with the tenants of this situation who clearly are caught between you know, housing programs, subsidies, and the sustainability of the nonprofit which owns the housing units. With Brunswick Street, the mortgage was paid off. The subsidy did expire. They're actually in arrears, quite frankly, to Housing Nova Scotia. The subsidy did expire. We did not cancel it. Generally, what happens with nonprofits, when their mortgage is paid off and their subsidy expires with that mortgage, the payments that they would make as a mortgage are passed along to the tenants so that they can have subsidized rent. That's generally how it works in a well-run nonprofit organization. It's unfortunate that this situation has played out with this between the Housing Association and their Board of Directors.
The Honourable Member for Dartmouth South.
Mr. Speaker, in an email sent from the Minister's Department, it clearly states that the subsidy was cancelled and that the mortgage remains due and payable. And I will table that. Housing Nova Scotia and the Minister have the authority to extend subsidies for groups like Brunswick Street Nonprofit. However, it seems the Housing Nova Scotia is unwilling to make such arrangements. Jeanette Lockyer says without receiving monthly subsidies, there are many residents that can no longer afford to live in their homes. Mr. Speaker, because of this subsidy cancellation, 80-year-old Shirley Joyce, along with others, are facing eviction in 12 days and are looking to the minister. Mr. Speaker, what is the minister prepared to do to ensure that the residents of Brunswick Street Nonprofit are not kicked out of their homes?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
I have committed publicly, both on the floor and outside of the House when I actually met with the tenants, that if they are displaced, we will be working with them in terms of a rent supplement. But Housing Nova Scotia, my staff, have been working with the nonprofit organization to try and mitigate that so that people aren't displaced. At the end of the day, whoever is living there will have the option to participate, if they qualify, into the rent supplement program, and I've committed to that because, quite frankly, they deserve to know that their affordable housing is going to continue.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, my question will be to the Minister of Business, but I would like to acknowledge that he did provide me with a list of the board members of the NSBI, including the newest member, 24 hours old, as he acknowledged he would in the House, and I appreciate that. But my question today is more about tourism. Ensuring that tourists have access to information is extremely important for the tourism operators around the province. Visitor information centres are a critical link in that chain of sharing the beauty of our province and giving visitors a great experience. Visitors can speak to real people about their communities, about good places to eat, and suggest locations for them to go to see the unique local sites. Mr. Speaker, VIC has seen visitors of over 400,000 contacts last year. So my question to the minister is, does the minister believe that Nova Scotians are the best people to showcase our beautiful province?
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We all have a responsibility to showcase our province, whether we do it internally within the province, or whether we do it externally, Mr. Speaker, with Nova Scotians residing across the country and quite literally around the world. We have an objective, Mr. Speaker, to double tourism revenue over the next 10 years. We have a strategy and plan in place to achieve that, and we will continue to do so in the best interest of all Nova Scotians.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Well, that was a nice answer, Mr. Speaker, but it doesn't directly respond to the question that was asked. You know, even the Premier understands how important personal contact is. In a release from his office, he identifies that talking about tourism destinations when he goes to Boston is part of what he's going to be doing. We have, in this province, a world-class tourism industry. The natural beauty, the artisans, the musicians, the welcoming accommodation, and a world-class reputation for hospitality make this a truly beautiful place to visit. But, Mr. Speaker, if the visitors aren't able to get information about local events, businesses or attractions, they won't be able to see the beauty and wonder of Nova Scotia. Mr. Speaker, the question really is if the minister is unwilling to provide our tourism operators with the resource to attract visitors like VICs, what will he do to replace the over 400,000 visitor contacts that were made last year at VICs?
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I couldn't agree more with some of the criteria that my colleague has identified. Nova Scotia is a tourist attraction. We have a responsibility to double the tourism revenues over the next 10 years, and we plan on doing that. Mr. Speaker, times have changed, and we as Nova Scotians have to change. International travellers, domestic travellers, are using the Internet to source their travel plans. Mr. Speaker, we're seeing a decrease in the use of local facilities. We're seeing a significant increase in the use of technology, Mr. Speaker, to plan travel. There's 51 municipal VICs in Nova Scotia that will continue to provide that point of contact in 51 municipalities across this province.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Minister of Transportation Infrastructure Renewal. We all know that infrastructure is a very important issue here in our province. Lately, the discussion of need for twinned highways and other projects and how we will pay for these highways and these need upgrades has been in the forefront. With the federal government promising $53 billion over the next 10 years in infrastructure renewal, my question to the minister is, will the minister commit to seeing that some of this money will be spent in Nova Scotia and Cape Breton, where they are shovel-ready?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Honourable Member for the question. It is an important one. I'm very humbled and privileged to have the opportunity to lead the discussions with respect to infrastructure as it relates to this beautiful province. I've spoken to Minister Sohi with infrastructure, Minister Garneau with transport. They've laid out some of the criteria and what's in place now with respect to Building Canada. The $53 million is actually new money pledged by the current federal government on top of the $47 that existed under the previous government, Mr. Speaker. So when you take in totality all of the commitments by the new federal government, we're well over $100 billion for their country over the next 10 years, which is significant. Right now, we're at about $425 million of that. We'll get to obviously much more than that as time goes on. But I can assure the member, all members of this House, and all Nova Scotians, we'll have a plan in place for our infrastructure needs and our priorities. And when the federal government comes calling, Nova Scotia will be ready. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Minister for that answer. Mr. Speaker, yesterday it was announced that MP for Cape Breton Canso has been appointed as the Parliamentary Secretary for the Minister of Employment and Workforce Development. I congratulate the Minister on that, the member on that. And Mr. Speaker, my question to the Minister is, will the Minister help engage the new Secretary in helping develop projects and move projects along in Cape Breton, and will he match the money that the federal government will put into play if the municipality will match it as well?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and certainly I join the member in congratulating a good friend of mine, Roger Kuzner, and a tremendous tremendous ambassador for the island and for our province, as he's done a number of years in Ottawa, 15 now in total. And Anna Ganish to the member, the Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, look, these priorities are a focus for us with the MPs from home, with the MPs from across the province, the 11 MPs we have here as part of the government caucus. Mr. Speaker, we've got to get this right. We will prioritize our roads, our hospitals, our schools for tomorrow's leaders, and we'll have a plan in place, Mr. Speaker. So I can assure the member
and all members of this House. Again, Nova Scotia will have a proper plan that recognizes our needs, identifies certainly the limited fiscal envelope that we have, but we'll work with our federal partners and we'll put the best plan in place for the future generation of our province for the important infrastructure that we have. Thank you very much. Yes.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Minister of Community Services. Two seniors in Chester St. Margaret's area are experiencing issues with Housing Nova Scotia. Mr. Alan Coolin needs repair work done to his basement to prevent leaks, and it is currently on the home repair waiting list. He has been told by Housing Nova Scotia that it could be a year or more until his name is up. He is very worried that further flooding could ruin his home and leave him homeless. Mrs. Elaine Hatt needs a new roof for her home. Contractors have told Elaine that her roof will unlikely make it through this winter in its current state. She has applied with Housing Nova Scotia for repairs and right now is waiting on the waiting list to get on a waiting list. My question to the minister is, can the minister explain why seniors have to wait for over a year for home repairs?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you, and thank you, the member, for the question. The housing repair program is a very well-utilized program. Many seniors from across the province take advantage of the wonderful relationships that they've made with their housing offices, where they can come in and make their home safe and apply for repairs that they normally couldn't. It is a well-utilized. We're hoping with the federal government that we may be able to open up some dialogue there on funneling more funding into that program to help alleviate some of those issues around the wait list, for particularly around seniors and their housing repairs.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Mr. Speaker, according to Housing Nova Scotia's financial accountability reports from the past 2 years, the minister has consistently underspent the area of housing renovation. 2 years ago, $2 million remained, and last year, $3.4 million were not spent. So, Mr. Speaker, can the minister explain why she has chosen not to spend this money on housing renovations when the wait list is over a year and seniors are suffering?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
I know from speaking to many folks around the province that one of the issues with many of the seniors that have applied for this program is that there are not local contractors that are willing to do the work. So that has, what that has done has resulted in the wait list getting bigger, because there are not, haven't been contractors in smaller communities able to do the work through Housing Nova Scotia. It's something that we're challenged with every day. It's something we work with community partners and the seniors that apply for our programs so that they can have the work done on their houses for health and safety reasons.
The Honourable Member for Bicknell Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Time allotted for oral questions put by members to ministers has expired. We'll now move on to government business. The Honourable Government House Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that you now leave the chair and that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole.
The House will now recess for a few minutes while we resolve ourselves into committee of the whole House.